Coming up on today's show,
running was my everything, and the fact that I wasn't performing in the way that I dreamt of performing, in the way that I wanted so badly to perform, it was just so hard for me. And I just truly didn't know if I was ever going to get a control over my health again.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show is as follows: Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. Additionally, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that's immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce at CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now onto my ministry moment for this episode. I do not deliberately set out to tie the ministry moment into the guest and his or her story each week. Sometimes the Holy Spirit moves in an interview, and what I share at the start does end up tying in nicely with testimony that we hear from whoever I'm talking with on a particular episode. But today you're going to hear about medical issues challenging someone during their athletic pursuits. Those are the times when we are tempted to question God, right? Or even ask where He is. When things seem to be crumbling around us, in sports, at our job, in our home life, we wonder why the Lord is letting us suffer these challenges. Essentially, we want the path that's free and clear of adversity. That's not reality, and if we're honest with ourselves, we know that. The good news, however, is that in the Old Testament, we were told that we would not be defeated in the way that we can sometimes convince ourselves is the case. Isaiah 43, verse 2 says, quote, "When you pass through waters, I will be with you. Through rivers, you shall not be swept away. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, nor will flames consume you." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest ran for the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, competing in cross country, indoor track, and outdoor track. Prior to that, she was a school record holder in the 4x400 meter relay and earned several honors, including, among many others, being named Poway High School Athlete of the Year and was a 5-time state meet qualifier. Today, she still stays involved through a running club, continues to race on the roads, and most recently ran a full marathon for the charity organization St. Jude. Her story, however, includes medical challenges and, in part, led to her today being a foot and ankle doctor and surgeon at a Catholic hospital in Indianapolis, including treating athletes. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dr. Savannah Santiago.
Hi, I'm so excited to be a guest. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. It's good to have you here. And I think I have used context clues to figure this out, but I'm not going to give it away. And I want to see if I'm right anyway. So let's start by having you share with us where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Yeah, so I'm originally from sunny San Diego, California, but I currently live in Indianapolis, Indiana. My family size, just have one brother. And then my parents and I, so a little bit of a smaller family.
I actually knew somebody who was from Poway, California, so That's why I said that I used context clues to figure it out. Tell us about faith in the household that you were raised in.
Yeah, so we were a little bit of a split household. So my dad is Hispanic, and so he was raised Catholic. He was confirmed and baptized in the Catholic Church. And Catholicism is something that is really important, especially to the Hispanic side of my family. Growing up, I very distinctly remember my great-grandmother, my grandma Kasuga, praying with her rosary every single night. And my dad has told me so many different stories about the priest from Our Lady de Guadalupe, which was our church in San Diego, coming over to the house for Sunday dinners, and Father Brown and all of that. And so from a very, very young age, my dad and I would read, with my little brother, we would read Bible stories every single night. And so my faith has always been something that's really, really important to me. And so it's a privilege to get to be on this podcast.
I know that you were baptized Catholic. You attended Catholic preschool. I wonder, you said it was a split household. So, and granted, you were a little baby, so you probably didn't know, but are you aware of how your parents made that decision? Let's baptize her Catholic. Let's send her to a Catholic preschool.
I don't know all of the details. I actually did talk to my dad about this recently. And so my mom is just non-denominational Christian. So her faith was still very, very important and very relevant to us. And I think for them growing up, the most important thing was that we understood the role of God in our life and the role and of Jesus's sacrifice. And so it wasn't necessarily whether we were Catholic or if we were siding with the Catholic side or with the non-denominational Christian side. It was more so seeing how our faith kind of grew as we got older. And I think that there has been a role for going to Mass and going to regular service in my life. And I'm really grateful for both. I currently work at a Catholic hospital, so I feel very privileged.
Before we start hearing about the adversity you faced, just give us the introduction first to how and when you got started into sports. And I think it was running only, correct? No other sports?
I dabbled in some other sports. I played basketball. My mom was a basketball player, and I played tennis and swam and did all those other things. But running, I would say, is the only sport that I was actually good at. My dance teacher used to joke that I only use one side of my body and I have no rhythm. So ballet wasn't in the cards either.
But I think you started into, I don't know if they called it track and field at such a young age, but in middle school, is that correct?
Yeah. So I ran my first race when I was in elementary school. I did my first 5K with my uncle.
Whoa.
And my first 5K, I beat him. And that was the moment when I was like, okay, I really like this. And I remember telling my mom after basketball practice that my favorite part of basketball practice is running the sprints at the end.
Hmm.
And I think that's when they kind of knew, like, oh, it's not really in the cards for her to be playing these coordination sports. She just likes being out there and running. But I ran club cross country and track, starting in middle school and then all the way through high school. And I had the privilege of running in college as well at the University of Colorado in Colorado Springs.
Interesting. Yeah, you competed in a great number of disciplines in college, but it was not easy to get there. Share with the audience about the medical challenges you were facing.
Yeah, so like I said, I had somewhat of a successful high school career. Nothing like what those kids are running nowadays, but I had the privilege of running at UTCS or the University of Colorado in Colorado Springs. And when I first started, I kind of started college and I was injured off the bat. I'd had some problems with stress fractures. And when I was 19, I was actually diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, which was a really frustrating diagnosis at the time. I mean, I was 19 years old. I couldn't have weighed more than 120 pounds sopping wet. And I was being told that I had this disease that was from lack of exercise and poor diet. And I was running 60 miles a week. And I just felt so crummy all of the time. And there just wasn't really anything that was making it better. And I started medication. And I was trying to make lifestyle modifications. And I thought I was never going to get to enjoy food again. I mean, I cut out all added sugar, all carbs. And I just felt like everything was kind of over for me. I couldn't get my blood sugar under control well enough for me to train, and I was having some other problems with my health, and it was just a really frustrating time, and I didn't understand why this was happening to me and why I was getting this disease that, I mean, affects older people who haven't been taking care of their body, which now I know as a physician that type 2 diabetes is multifactorial. I mean, there's a genetic aspect of it. Sure, there is a diet and exercise aspect to it, but nobody chooses to be diabetic, whether it's type 1, type 2, or I actually was then later on diagnosed with MODI, which is mature onset of diabetes, so it's type 1.5. So I still make some of my own insulin, so I'm not type 1, which is when the pancreas stops secreting insulin, but I don't have full insulin resistance, which is type 2. So I'm somewhere in the in-between. And with enough discipline, I was able to get my hemoglobin A1C, which is a diabetes marker, down back under normal control, and with a continuous glucose monitor, could then start to regulate my blood sugar with pretty much diet and exercise alone. And I was able to get off the medication that I was taking. But during that time, it had significantly impacted my bone density, which nobody really knew was an issue. So I had worked really hard. I'd gotten my health under control. I started racing again, and I got a stress fracture in my foot. And sure enough, they put me in the boot. I waited my month. I cross-trained like a maniac, and I got another stress fracture.
In the same foot?
In the same foot, in a different bone. And so they put me in a cast, and I waited another month, and I was on crutches, and I tried to make it fun. I would crutch races and crush 5Ks with friends and, like, kind of take it from there. But I was in a cast, and it just wasn't getting better. They kept taking x-rays, and I was seeing the team doctor all of the time, and I was so angry. I'd put all this time and effort in. I'd tried really hard to have a good attitude about it.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't getting better, and I was talking to an orthopedic surgeon about them potentially doing surgery to try to repair the stress fractures. And they weren't super keen on it. They weren't sure that it was going to really give me a good outcome. And so we kept talking about it. And finally, I just asked if I could get another opinion. Mm-hmm. And so I got another opinion, and I saw a podiatrist in the area. And I was somewhat aware of what podiatry was as a specialty. My mom, who is a phenomenal emergency room nurse, she's director of an emergency department in San Diego. She's thebomb.com. She had told me a couple of months earlier, like, I think podiatry would be a really good field for you. And I was like, no, you don't know me. I'll figure out what type of medical field I want to be in. Mm-hmm. But I saw this podiatrist, and she was just amazing. She looked at me as a whole person. She looked at me holistically. And one of the first things she said to me is like, it's really odd that you're diabetic. And I was like, it is really odd that I'm diabetic. It's my party trick when I go to the doctor. And she checked my bone density, and sure enough, I had problems with my bone density, and I had great vitamin D, everything else was going well, but we were able to kind of address that problem with the bone stimulator, and with enough physical therapy and the bone stimulator, I eventually got out of the boot, and I got back to running again, and so this injury initially happened. So I was diagnosed with diabetes in my sophomore year of college. The injury happened at the end of track. So the way the seasons work is fall is cross country, winter is indoor track, and then spring is outdoor track.
Okay.
And so by outdoor track of my sophomore year, that's when all these stress fractures were happening.
Okay.
And so this is the end of my junior year when we had finally figured stuff out. I was finally running again.
I want to jump in here because I want to have you fast forward to the end of your senior year and the plans that you had versus what actually ended up happening, which is clearly a sign of the plans that God had for you instead.
Exactly. Yeah. So I get to my senior year. I'm finally healthy. I'm finally ready to race again, and I'm in good shape. And COVID hit. So it canceled everything. I had made plans to join the Peace Corps. I had signed a contract for 2 years in Costa Rica, where I would be studying infectious disease and teaching Spanish. Another fun fact about me is I speak fluent Spanish, not just because of my Mexican heritage, but I also took 11 years worth of Spanish classes and worked as a Spanish tutor and translator.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's good. It helps with my patience. But I had made all these plans where I was going to go into the Peace Corps. I was going to run my last year of college track. And COVID hit, and it just turned the entire world upside down. And I ended up canceling everything. I moved home to San Diego, and I felt pretty lost because my college experience was suddenly cut short. I had to change the plans that I had for the next 2 years because I was no longer moving to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted to be a podiatrist, and so I applied to podiatry school very, very, very last minute. And I was lucky enough to be accepted, and now I'm here in Indiana
Wow.
working as a
Wow.
podiatrist or a foot and ankle doctor, and I love it, and I love
Wow.
surgery, and I'm treating patients that have the same problems that I had. So
Oh boy.
it's a really rewarding experience.
Amazing, amazing testimony yet again. Folks, we are just so blessed to get to hear these stories week after week on the show. And by no means is that meant to be self-serving. As much as I know some information about the guest each week, I certainly do not know what they're going to say word for word or the emotion they're going to bring. And so, wow, these are definitely spirit-led conversations. And it all makes for a great witness as it relates to telling other people about Catholic Sports Radio and trying to grow the audience together so that more people can benefit from hearing testimony from guests like Dr. Savannah Santiago and so many before her. It's all part of the aim to move more people closer to Christ. I'm grateful that God called me to this ministry, and I am happy to give back with my time and talent, to use an expression commonly heard in church. Something else our priests, our pastor talks about, particularly during this time of year, during Lent, is prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. That last one opens a door for you to consider my ministry. The talk in church is how do you distribute your 10%? I'm making it real easy. I'm not challenging you to a certain percentage, and I'm also simply asking you to pray about a one-time gift, not something ongoing. Nonetheless, perhaps this Lenten season is what moves you to say, yes, I like what Bruce is doing. I believe in the mix of faith and sports. I want to help keep it going and growing so more people can hear the tremendous witness being shared by the guests each week. I'm going to make a financial contribution. Thank you. Here's how. As guests and listeners have done in the past, you can utilize the blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then, regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check. With your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you've heard me do in the past when a guest or a listener sends in a contribution. Or as some have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Savannah, let's continue what you were sharing with us before the break as it relates to where you have ended up today, meaning at a Catholic hospital and in a lot of cases taking care of athletes. Share with the audience about something that is available at the hospital faith-wise and how you use it in your vocation.
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest things is that we have a chapel on site at our hospital. So, like I said, I do work at a Catholic hospital. We also have numerous chaplains who are available to talk to patients. I actually had a patient tell me the other day that he called a priest to come bedside. So I think those are all really special opportunities for me personally when I take call at the hospital, meaning that when I'm the doctor that's on call, so if something comes into the emergency room and they have a foot or ankle ailment, a lot of times that can be like diabetic wounds or if they need an amputation, which can all be really heavy and hard, especially for the patient themselves. And occasionally it will weigh enough on me that I feel like I need to talk to someone about it. And so I frequently, if I lose a patient, which does unfortunately happen, or if there's just an amputation that weighs really heavy on my heart, I'll go up to the chapel and I'll talk to one of the priests there, or I'll just light a candle and say a quick prayer for the patient and their family.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Now, let's come full circle and talk about your quote unquote return to running. I mentioned in the intro some of what you've been doing that way. If you could share about it all in your own words, please.
Yeah, so like I said, I think hindsight's 2020. So looking back on all of those hard times that I had, I can see how it kind of all worked out in my favor now. So I'm here in Indiana and I found an amazing community with the Run Club that I'm a part of, and they have elected me the team doctor slash team podiatrist. So I actually went last night and I was on a run and I was talking to someone about their foot pain. So I pretty regularly get to work with athletes in my own community, which is really special. Additionally, I get to be here as a physician and as a surgeon, and I did the procedure that I was supposed to have done earlier this week. So that is one of those really rewarding things to be like, I can talk and relate to my patients and be like, you know, like I was an athlete too. I remember what it's like to want to get back to that. But I call myself more of a hobby jogger now. I do still compete in half marathons and marathons and do some road racing, but I'm not nearly as quick as I used to be. But I'm pain-free, which is what's most important.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're being rather humble to say a hobby jogger when you're someone that ran a full marathon for St. Jude.
I did. Yes, I did run it. It was a wonderful experience. And I think running it for St. Jude was something that pushed me to absolutely get it done, which was a lot of fun.
Meanwhile, you have participated in multiple mission trips with Amor Ministry. Tell us more about what that has consisted of.
Yeah, so Amor Ministry is a ministry down in Tijuana, Mexico. And the way that they work is they help families with housing. So low-income families that need help with housing. And so they help set these families up on a plan to help get a plot of land. And then they get volunteers to help build them a home. And you get to work hand-in-hand with those families. So for me, being Spanish-speaking, I absolutely adore getting to work with the Hispanic community. There is nothing that makes my day more than when I get to speak Spanish with a patient at the hospital and seeing the look on their face when I come in and I start speaking Spanish and they know that I understand them. But with Amor Ministry, I was able to help with building homes. I actually did all of those mission trips with my mom. And so it was really cool because we were part of a women build crew. So it was a full women team who were building homes for these families down in Mexico. So it was a really great experience.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I like about everything you just described is that's nothing to do with running. That's nothing to do with being a doctor. That is just having a servant's heart and saying, I really have this passion for serving the Hispanic community. And oh, by the way, here is a literal hands-on way that I can help them. And we always hear the expression, meet them where they are. You're going right to where they are. You're going right to Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit easier when I was in San Diego. It's not too far of a drive to get down to northern Mexico. But yeah, I mean, they do say that surgery is just applied carpentry. So maybe I'm still doing a little bit of medicine. But yeah, it's a great experience.
So bring us up to date. How is your diabetes present day? And is there anything from all that you have experienced that we've been hearing about during the conversation that can be used as a teaching moment for anyone in the audience, whether it is diabetes or whether it is what you dealt with your foot?
I would say the biggest thing is, well, with my diabetes, it is extremely well controlled. I consider myself extremely blessed. Like I said earlier, I think diabetes is multifactorial. I think one of the biggest things with diabetes is education. And I am so, so fortunate that I had an amazing doctor that was helping take care of me, that I was getting care in the language I best understood, and I had all the resources necessary to help me get better. So my diabetes at this time is very, very well controlled. It does help when I treat my diabetic patients that I can help them with their continuous glucose monitor or their insulin pump. And I can be like, oh, look, like we're matching. I have a continuous glucose monitor too. I could never tell a patient that I know what it's like to be in their shoes because I don't. We all have our own unique journeys. But to tell them, like, I'm diabetic myself and I want you to know that I'm fighting for you in this limb, like right there with you. Like, I don't want you to lose your foot because of this wound or this infection. Like, let me help you. And like, we got to get your diabetes under control. And so I think that that's a really big part of it. Otherwise, for injury wise, for my athletes, I think the biggest thing is listening to your body. I think I knew that my foot was hurting and I was injured long before I went to the team doctor and I got x-rays. And I think that listening to your body and seeing the warning signs of like, I'm training a little too hard, or I'm not eating enough, or I'm not taking good enough care of my body and getting the recovery in that I need is important. I think athletes tend to push themselves really, really hard. And I love the discipline that running's given me. And I love the community that I'm a part of. But I do think that there has to be a stopping part. And we have bodies that can fail on us. And just because your body's breaking down doesn't mean that the rest of you has to break down too.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the ego takes over and tells us,
oh, for sure,
that you can't quit. And you know, kind of does this salesman job on you that says, this is normal. This pain that you're feeling, this is normal. This is all part of the running program or all part of being an athlete. And so I think what you're saying, Savannah, is you have to look for signs of, no, this isn't normal. Like, I know there's going to be some pain. I know there's going to be some fatigue. I know there's going to be some soreness, but I have to put my ego to the side and ask a doctor, is this normal? And maybe it is.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think if there's any one last piece is I think it all ends up working in the end. And oh, it frustrates me to say that, because if I could go back and talk to myself when I was 19, I mean, I would want to give me a big hug. And I don't think I would believe that it all was going to work out. I mean, running was my everything. And the fact that I wasn't performing in the way that I dreamt of performing, in the way that I wanted so badly to perform, it was just so hard for me. And I just truly didn't know if I was ever going to get a control over my health again. And I look at it now, and I mean, I'm running healthy and happily, and I have great friends, and I'm still part of the running community, and I have a job that I just absolutely adore, and I'm helping these patients, and I just feel like I have such a bigger purpose, and all of those things truly did happen to me for a reason. And while it didn't feel like it in the time, I am just so lucky that I went through those experiences and got to the other side, and I just can absolutely see how God's work really played out.
Wow. Wow. Well, I used this expression a couple minutes ago when we were talking about what you've done through Amor Ministry, but let's close by having you share about what I feel, again, shows that you have a servant's heart, which is a lot of the work you've been doing for underprivileged communities.
Yeah, so most of this is more medical work, but I have volunteered with the Special Olympics, so doing foot screening checks for the athletes that are going to participate in that. Also Fit Feet, which is the underserved community, and checking their feet, making sure that our homeless population can get shoes, they can get socks, they get wound care. I actually have a community event tomorrow with Samaritan Health where we're going to be doing foot checks and toenail trimming for patients. So toenail trimming isn't quite as glorious as getting to be in the OR, but it can make a big difference for these people. So I'm excited.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And you mentioned it's very specific, but I like that you kind of know the audience that you want to help serve, which is not just the Hispanic community, but the Hispanic diabetic community.
Yeah, absolutely. Diabetes is very prevalent within the Hispanic community. And like I said, I think one of the biggest things with diabetes is education. And I mean, it just breaks my heart when you see a patient that comes into your office, and when I start talking to them and I'm speaking in Spanish, and I can tell that they haven't understood any of their medical appointments. They haven't understood what's going on with their body. And it's, they just smile and they nod along, but they don't truly comprehend what's going on or the severity of their wound or their injury or what's happening to them. So getting to work with the diabetic community and give back to, I mean, a disease that I felt like took something from me at a point and that I continue to have problems with that is very well controlled, to be able to give back to that community, as well as I think getting to speak the language of my family. I mean, I think my grandmother smiles down on me every time that I speak Spanish with a patient. If she was still here, I think she would be so, so proud to see everything that I'm doing. So I do feel really blessed that I get to have that special connection with those types of patients.
You do work at the Low Income Clinic at Ascension St. Vincent, Indianapolis. Is that unique to that facility, or are there low income clinics at other hospitals or maybe Catholic hospitals around the U.S. that maybe people need to be more aware of?
I couldn't tell you specifically about other hospitals. I do know with Ascension St. Vincent, because we are a Catholic hospital, we do a certain amount of charity or pro bono work, and so we do have a low-income clinic. I know in the past we had a free clinic once a month, but I haven't been participating in that recently. So I don't want to speak too much to that,
sure.
But the population that we get to serve at Ascension St. Vincent, it is a really special population, and being able to help the people that need it the most is absolutely lovely.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. You're doing terrific work, Savannah. Thank you for all that you are doing, and I really appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And folks, you heard her say she does still run, and there's so much that she did in high school and college. So I thought it would be fitting if we close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer. And let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dear God, today is game day, and I place myself in your loving hands. Help me to be a good sport. I pray that I do not seek individual glory or accolades, but rather that I play for your glory and for the good of my team. I pray that all who play this game today are protected from physical harm. And my Lord, help me to accept the bad breaks as part of the game. I pray that I play to the best of my ability and to give honor to you by accepting my position and my place in the lineup. Loving God, I pray for those who watch from the stands that they too give glory to you by accepting without prejudice the rules and decisions of the game today. May their hearts be filled with joy and gladness that you have given them the ultimate gifts they watch this day, the players. Dear God, I pray for the coaches and referees that they too experience your loving guidance in the decisions they make today. For those who work behind the scenes to make this day enjoyable, and for the founders and supporters. Finally, I pray to you, loving God, that you enjoy this game today and bestow on each of us wisdom and acceptance, no matter the outcome of the final score. With you in our hearts, we are all winners. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.